Darren, Kerry and Sky. Weekday 6 to 9 a.m.
Darren, Kerry and Sky here on East Coast Radio. We have our legal expert with us right now. We're joined by Ashton Naidoo, legal expert from Mooney Ford Attorneys. And this morning he's going to answer any of your legal questions. Remember, the whole week we've got experts, right? So legal questions, Ashton. Consumer questions, Wendy Nola. And science-y questions or COVID-related questions, we have Dr. Tulio de Oliveira. All you have to do is WhatsApp your questions, 061-792-9495. You can choose to be anonymous. Just put a funny name in there. And we can call you back if necessary. Good morning, Ashton.
Hi, Darren. How are you doing?
Lacquer, man. Lacquer, all things considered.
Good morning, Ashton. I've got a question for you here from Will Smith. I'm going to go ahead and guess it's not his real name. So, Ashton, the question for you from Will Smith is this. He's looking for some legal advice. Will resigned on the 18th of March. He worked until the 30th of April. At the end of April, he was short paid and was advised that he was supposed to be on leave for April. The company decided to deduct leave without communicating that with him, and Will Smith did not sign a leave form. Hmm. Please advise him what action he can take.
Sounds like a real entanglement.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't believe you went there, Darren.
Yeah. Darren went there.
All right, what advice do you have?
The first thing that I would want to find out from Will is whether he actually worked the month of April. As we know, we had a question like this last week. If your company was shut down during that period, they could have forced you to take leave without you sort of wanting the leave, if I can put it that way. Mm. Just as a side for not paying you for that month. So you basically have a situation of either you get paid or you take your leave, or you don't get paid or you take your leave. So the question needs to be sort of fleshed out a bit more with regards to that. If he was paid, or if he was working during the April month, and he still was forced to take leave, so he actually did work and he was on leave simultaneously somehow, then he has a claim and he needs to go to the Department of Labor for that claim. If, however, he was on leave and he sat at home during that month, sort of can't really claim too much against the company. Yes, their policy was wrong. They should have informed him. But, I mean, you can't expect to be paid during a pandemic when you're sitting at home.
All right. We have Ndabezita online has a question about firearm licenses. Go ahead for Ashton.
Hello.
How's it? What's your question for Ashton?
I want to know what happens if your firearm license and competency certificate expired during the lockdown period, because in terms of the law, you must apply for a competency certificate and license 90 days before it expires.
Okay, Ashton?
If you give me a chance to look at that, I actually have never had that question before.
No, me either. I must tell you, in my circle of friends, none of them has a firearm. So I wouldn't be able to help you out with that one. Unless you got a get. Yeah, Sky got a get?
Pending.
Pending.
Ashton, this is my
weapon. This is my gun.
Ashton, just quickly, I'm sure you can answer this one. Hello, I'd like to remain anonymous. My question, can your employer change the amount of your salary without any discussions beforehand, even if they applied for TERS? Danke.
Wow, that's actually a big one. If you look at it, businesses, their first sort of inclination is to make sure that they survive. There's been very vast discussions around this on sort of weighing up the survivability of a business versus the conditions of the employers. So unless these changes provide for sort of a lesser terms that is stipulated in the basic conditions of employment, most issues are capable of being changed by agreement. The Labor Court had a case, I think it was last year, it might have been the year before, where it found that an employer can change the terms of a employer's contract if it if the business survival depends on it.
Yeah.
So the short answer to that is yes, they can, if they can prove that the change in salary was or is a direct consequence of the survivability of the business.
And who would argue that for you? Can you go to a small claims court or do you need to lawyer up?
Okay, so again, yeah, it will depend on sort of the amount of money that you get. It's definitely not a CCMA matter. All pay-related matters are dealt with by the Department of Labor.
Labor, okay.
But again, there's law is very complicated. So there's a threshold. If you're senior management or you earn above a certain threshold per year,
no.
The Department of Labor sort of kicks you out and you need to go to court to do it. If you earn a certain amount, not exceeding 15,000, you can go to the small claims court.
Mm.
If you earn more than that, you've got to go to normal magistrate's court. And then above 400,000, you've got to go to the regional magistrate's court.
We're back with our legal expert from Mooney Ford Attorneys, Ashton Naidu. And we gave him a little bit of time there to answer a question. He couldn't answer immediately. And the question one of our callers asked us is, what do we do if a gun license has expired during lockdown? Any clarity on that, Ashton?
Yeah, so various forums have written to the minister regarding some sort of direction with regards to the the renewal of licenses, and all they've received is feedback to say that the police have acknowledged the letter and that they would address the matter. But at present, there's been no clear words from the minister or no direction from the minister in this regard. So, unfortunately,
so,
yeah.
Would one be able to assume that in the same way that your car, you can't be held liable if your car license expired during lockdown, you can't be held liable for your gun license expiring during lockdown because you had no way and means to renew the license?
That would be the consensus, but from sort of a little bit of research that I've done now, it seems that the police are actually cracking down on unlicensed firearms, and it's more a situation of shoot now and ask questions later.
So this actually this really was a concerned person who wants to hold on to their firearm and are worried that the police are going to capitalize on this lack of licenses right now.
Listen, the only thing I can say is approach your local police station and tell them that you have a firearm at the moment.
Mm.
You can't have it renewed. Ask them to perhaps they could keep it in a gun locker for you.
Yeah.
I understand that lots of people wouldn't want to do that, but you've got a catch-22 situation here. If you get caught with it, you technically are breaking the law. So, yeah.
Well, there you go. The best answer we've got.
Yeah. From guns to smokes, Ashton. Got a WhatsApp here, brother. I'm going to just read it as it is, brother. If I sell plastic packets and give away a free box of smokes with it, is it illegal? It's a WhatsApp and it's from King Wobbs. King Wobbs. I've never seen King Wobbs at Wobbs, so just saying. So at Wobbs. So there you go.
Okay, so your first problem is if you're going to give away a pack of cigarettes with every packet you sell,
yeah,
you're going to be running at a loss because you can't sell that packet for more than 50 cents.
Oh, who says? I can set the price for my plastic bag.
As soon as you increase the price of your plastic bag to something that's not reasonable or not the norm,
yeah,
you're then incorporating the cost of the cigarettes into that, which means you're technically selling that cigarette.
So, okay, yeah, what if I sell a really nicely decorated box that is ornate, and with it you get a free packet of smokes?
Same story here. It's going to depend on what that value of the box is, and whether
it's subjective.
Adding,
it's artwork. It's my own original artwork.
I don't know.
What if you give them away and someone gives you donation in return?
No, it's also the intention behind it will have to be basically checked for it. So if you do this on a continuous basis, it means that you are selling cigarettes for profit.
Okay.
If you're going to do this sort of once-off thing.
Yeah.
If I've got a pack of cigarettes, I don't smoke anymore, and I give it to a friend and say, "Well, yeah, take it."
Yeah.
That's a donation. I don't see any problem with that. But if you have multiple boxes of cigarettes lying around and you then donate it with the intention of getting some money back for it,
yeah,
it's a different story.
Okay. All right. People searching for
then
a couple
Ashton,
of loopholes.
I've got a question here from Denver. Denver says, good morning, Ashton. I'd like to find out what to do in this situation. I was not late for lunch, and my manager insisted that I was late for lunch. But the records show I was not late for lunch and on time. So it ended up in an argument. I was upset. I told him I was leaving and going home. However, when I came back, he then gave me a final written warning. Is this okay? Note that I have never had any other warnings before.
Ah.
I'm getting this right. This is an argument over whether somebody had taken an extra few minutes for lunch.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, look, it's a difficult situation because at the end of the day, your employer has the right to sort of bring hearings against you or bring sort of charges against you, but the proper protocol should be followed. So in this circumstance, there should be a hearing. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but if they want to follow the proper protocol, and you want to dispute the fact of this, and then you can call, you go to your HR, say, listen, I want a hearing here, bring your evidence, sort of he's got witnesses or he's got the timesheet, etc. Put that forward and get the final written warning overturned.
But especially if he's saying it's a final warning, but it's actually the first warning, I think you've got a strong case there again with CCMA.
100%. And also, you know, a final written warning is for serious offenses. Again, if you're 15 minutes late for, even if he was 15 minutes late for from lunch, that wouldn't really warrant a final written warning if that's your first offense.
Yeah. All right. So legal advice there is, you've done nothing wrong. And if you were to litigate this one, you would probably win that case. So we have a voice note here from Mohammed about a question we answered last week, but maybe some people didn't hear.
It expired just before the lockdown, and because of financial reasons, I wasn't able to purchase my license. So now I am going well beyond the expiry date of my license disc.
Ashton?
I'm still here.
He wasn't able to pay for his vehicle license. He hasn't got his vehicle licensed. Where does he stand right now?
Okay, so we've got good news with regards to that. That's been extended further. I think it's till January 2021 for expired license discs.
Is that if it expired during the lockdown?
That's only if it expired during the lockdown.
Okay.
If it expired prior to the lockdown, you're still going to suffer the penalties and costs for it.
Okay, well, there you go. That's our legal expert, Ashton Naidu.
And Ashton, we've got JD on the line. JD has a question for you about transporting booze. JD, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, everybody there. And Ashton, have a lovely day. I hope you do.
Hi. Good, thanks, JD. Okay, your question for Ashton.
Okay, I don't personally drink alcohol, but if a brewery had a promotion during the lockdown that if you sent an SMS, then after the lockdown fell away, you could win a couple of dozen beers. So I just for fun entered it, and of course I got these beers. Now, I would like to take them to my brother. I live in Shelly Beach. He lives in Pietermaritzburg, and I want to take them to him so that he can have them. Now, am I allowed to transport them, or do I have to have some sort of evidence that I didn't now try and purchase these illegally?
Okay, so I'm assuming that you want to travel sort of a distance because this is not down the road type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not down the road.
If you get stopped by the police, it's going to be very difficult for you to sort of convince them that you're transporting the alcohol for legitimate reasons. If you've got proof that it's you're sort of just taking it to a relative, you might get away with it. But from the current level of things, I would advise against it, just because it's illegal to be caught with alcohol, if I can put it that way.
Mm.
Police aren't going to differentiate between you. They're going to think that you bought the booze somewhere else and you're now moving to where you're going. It's going to be difficult. So I would, my advice would be hold on for now until we have some sort of more clarity on it. But there is no law against the transport of alcohol, but I wouldn't chance it.
Okay, thank you for that, Ashton, and hopefully JD, you got the answer you wanted. So we got a question here from King, I think it's Kunta, King Kunta, right, of WhatsApp. If someone has infected their staff with COVID-19 and told them to keep it a secret, can I report it, and to who?
They're the staff corona. Look, they might be taking it a bit far, but I mean, they could be charged with attempted murder of some sort if so they could report it to the police. But one of the first things you do is to report it to the coronavirus contact center. So there's a number that you call, and you can report it directly through and advise. I think it takes it directly through to the government stats. Not 100% sure. The other, you could report to the Department of Health. They would also step in with regards to that. But yeah, you could even report it to the police, because as I understand it, it could be regarded as a attempted murder.
Yeah. And apart from the fact that it's critical right now to know where all cases are, and that's what the tracking and tracing does, is to let you know where the hotspots and the epicenters are, so that they can do everything that they can to keep it contained, so that it doesn't spread and explode into other areas. So apart from it being morally and ethically correct, legally, yeah, you can get into a hell of a lot of trouble. So somebody infects you and says, please keep it a secret. No, you need to let people know. And our legal expert concurs with me as well. Here's another one. This is
Darren,
from
there is a hotline number that people can call with regards to that.
Yes.
It's a 24-hour hotline number. It's 0800-029-999.
Give me that number again.
0800-029-999. And that's the 24-hour hotline number for the Department of Health.
And obviously
specifically to deal with coronavirus.
And can you choose to be anonymous as well?
Yes.
If you're reporting something. Yeah. All right. Here's a question for you. It's from Vin Diesel, not his name. If you stay at a resort or a caravan park, well, actually, that might be Vin Diesel. If you stay at a resort or a caravan park, do you have to pay your rates? And if you don't, can you be evicted?
So this will be tantamount if you're staying in a hotel and you're not paying for your hotel room bill. Yeah, you can get kicked out, because that's not your permanent place of residence. It's not an eviction as such. Mm. It's somebody removing you from their premises because you're not paying the rate. This is not your permanent place of residence. So it's not regarded as an eviction. So if the problem is, are they going to hitch your trailer or your caravan to a vehicle and tow it out.
Put it on the side of the road.
Yeah.
All right. So you have no legal standing there. Well, there you go. That's our legal expert, Ashton Naidu. Ashton, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning.
My absolute pleasure.
Chat to you soon. Our legal expert from Mooney Ford Attorney. So we cover all your law questions with Ashton, all of your consumer questions with Wendy, and all of your coronavirus questions throughout the week with Professor Tulio de Oliveira. And we take your calls as well.
Darren, Carrie and Sky, weekday 6 to 9 a.m.